Good morning. So as many of you might know that this month we are talking about different missions at Good Samaritan United Methodist Church. Now often we wonder that if I am not here during the week, is anything happening at the church? Because I'm here on Sunday, most people are here on Sunday, what happens during the week? And so this month we are highlighting different ministries at the Good Samaritan Church. And today we have two groups of people. They're going to come and share what they are doing for God's work. One is Adopt a Miracle group, and Fran, she's going to come and talk about Adopt a Miracle. And then we have Helen, she will come and talk about ESL, English as Second Language ministry at the church, and also the citizens class we're having at this church. So please welcome them.
I'm Fran and
Mary,
and we are going to tell you a little bit about Adopt a Miracle. It is a ministry hosting a it's a ministry hosting a fun night where we provide an opportunity to show you can have a sober evening of fun without drugs or alcohol. A little history: since 1992, the Adopt a Miracle ministry of Good Samaritan United Methodist Church has reached out to women in residential drug treatment programs in the San Jose area, providing monthly evening of fun, friendship, and material and emotional support. When the program was created, it was supported by the March of Dimes, the San Jose Mercury News Wish Book Program, J.C. Penney, and in addition, through the strong support from the congregation. With large donations, it was possible to give more long-term and personal assistance. At that time, women were also able to bring their babies to Fun Night, and we provide children child care for them.
Adopt a Miracle? What does it look like now? It is no longer possible for us to maintain a long-term relationship with the women in recovery because counselors choose who gets the opportunity to attend Fun Night. We also need to limit the number that can come due to transportation issues. Volunteer drivers from Good Sam pick the ladies up at 6 p.m. at two facilities and deliver them to us. The program runs from 7 to 9 p.m. at Good Sam on the third Wednesday of each month from January through November. Upon arrival, the ladies are invited to select clothing from our clothes closet for themselves and their children. They can also get toys, small household items, shoes, and personal items. We start the program off with a wild get acquainted game of tossing bean bags or stuffed animals around a very large circle. Occasionally a guest arrives with that, "Ooh, do I really have to be here?" But it doesn't take long before they're running around and laughing their heads off. The evening program provides a joyous game of bunco or a craft project. Craft months show us how very talented and creative these women are. They make beautiful floral arrangements and of design with cloth and material and art paper. I see such creativity and wonder why they can't recognize their own personal gifts and talent. We always admire and praise their work. After our projects are completed, we head for the kitchen, where we lovingly provide veggies and dip, fruit, crackers and cheese, small sandwiches, drinks, and dessert. Staff and guests eat together in Fellowship Hall. That gives another opportunity for socializing and sharing. An important part of the evening is spent in the fireside room with a staff leader and assistants. The women are given an opportunity to talk about their successes and concerns while living at either Parisi, House on the Hill, or Pathway Society, Mariposa Lodge. They often talk about their struggles while living on the street. They discuss how it feels to be separated from their other children, some because of imprisonment, and some because their children have been taken away from them by the court system due to their addictive, repetitive behavior. The women come from two different facilities. They don't even know each other. They listen carefully to each other and appear amazed that someone else may have the same problem and feelings of despair. Sometimes they even give each other suggestions on how they handled a particular problem. Staff awards either a handmade butterfly for achieving positive progress or a clothespin caterpillar to those still struggling with unresolved issues. We also provide certificates to women who attend Fun Night three times. They can present this achievement certificate to the judge when they are asked to make a court appearance. We have a God's Prayer basket, and each lady is encouraged to request prayers for herself, her recovery, prayers for others who are struggling, their families and children. Our staff takes these prayers home, and sometimes they are placed in our prayer walls during the Lenten season. It is our goal to be open and welcoming to all God's children. Women often hug us as they leave and take the opportunity to thank us for a great evening. What a wonderful gift this is. Because our impact on the lives of women suffering from drugs or alcohol is so short-lived, we cannot expect a high rate of success. But with the recent creation of the Recovery Cafe in San Jose, it will give the women an additional safe place to follow up and continue their recovery program. This encourages us to keep doing what we've been doing for so many years and feel more confident that the women will have a better chance to successfully return to society and enjoy a drug-free lifestyle.
I'd like to touch upon who are some of God's other helpers. Every month, church members driving approximately 50 miles to pick up and deliver our guests from San Jose to this church. The drivers, men and women, make it possible for our program to continue. So if you've ever were a volunteer, helped with our fun night, or have driven, please stand. I'd like to ask the Adopt a Miracle Ministry team to please stand, and then you can recognize their faces. So, team. At the end of the service, please stop by the Adopt a Miracle table on your way to the coffee time. It will be to the left of the restroom door. A brief description of Adopt the Miracle is also in your bulletin as well as on the table. We also have other additional information as to what we need. So what kind of help do we need? We need additional drivers. We need strong people to lift the heavy storage bins 2 to 3 times a year. This is usually during the all church work days. We also are asking for suggestions. If you have a 30-minute project in mind, you could please see Roxanne. Oh, I almost forgot. If anybody is interested in driving, please see Barbara Shev. Oh, there she is. So We ask for clean and nearly new clothing for women and children of all ages. We would like to ask not to donate anything red, you know, bright red, or blue, because they are gang colors, and they are not accepted at the place of residency. So if you're interested, please contact us if you would like to join us and help out with this most important ministry. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Helen Kung. I'm the director of Chinese ministry here at this church. I'm going to start our testimony with Jie Zhen, who's a student and a member of this church. And then I'll talk a little bit about the history of our program, and then I'm going to invite Mohan, who's a volunteer of this program, to represent. We do have approximately 30, 40 people involved in the program, and we have done this ministry for more than 25 years. So, Jie Zhen, come on up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
我在中国长大。 历史的原因，我刚读完初中一年级，中国文化大革命开始，全国的学校一律停止上课，从此我再没有结束教育。I
grew up in China. I only completed elementary school, barely starting middle, junior high school when the Cultural Revolution in China started, and all schools stopped in the country. I never completed my education.
直到退休后来美的前夕，在捷足英文，可是我一点都不懂英文，跟儿子读welcome这个单词，读了十遍还不会读，儿子就骂到我哭了，我学习又停止了。She
wrote this way before, but she's we were just crying when we were singing about the Welcome to God's Love song, because she said she didn't know a word of English, and until retirement, before she was planning to immigrate to the United States. Her son tried to teach her the word welcome, and she repeated it more than 10 times and couldn't get it right. And so her son got so frustrated, he started crying. And that stopped her from learning any more English.
当我踏上美国的土地，以后来到爱灵堂的教会， 2005年开始，每逢周六周日上课， 经过4年的学习，从英文 1, 2, 3, and ABC， 2009年，我终于一次考试成功入职公民，同时在教会里，我主耶稣做我的救主。Okay.
Oh. When I came to the United States, I almost immediately came to the Good Samaritan Church. Beginning in 2005, I started in class learning ABCs and 1, 2, 3s. I came to class every Saturday and every Sunday for 4 years. After 4 years of study, I finally succeeded passing the citizenship interview and became an American citizen.
同时在教会里，我接受主耶稣做我的救主，从佛教徒转变受洗成为一名基督徒。 主的爱对我永远不离不弃，在任何的环境下成长，他的恩典都够用，福杯满溢。
In church, I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I was baptized into Christian, into becoming a Christian, leaving my Buddhist beliefs. The love of the Lord will never leave me. Growing up in any environment, God's grace is enough.
多谢钟牧师 Helen 传道 Patty Glover Teacher 还有英文堂许多的英语老师在四年多为我们付出无私的爱和帮助衷心感谢阿们
My cup overflows with blessings. Thank you to Pastor Gail Chu, Minister Helen, Teacher Patty Grove, and many, many English teachers who have given me attention and love for more than 4 years. I sincerely thank you. Amen. So in the early 1990s, our ESL program started with one person, and she happens to be here. Sadie Furumasu started a one-on-one conversation with a young lady trying to help her learn English. Sadie, will you please stand up? It soon grew into a group of people learning English. During this time, the demographics of our city, Cupertino, has changed drastically. By the late 1990s, the Asian population of Cupertino grew to more than 40%. More and more neighbors came asking whether we can help them learn English. In 1999, we organized 3 free ESL programs on Saturday mornings. People were so impressed by the quality of teaching and care shown by the teachers that the ministry quickly grew to more than 100 students. Through the years, many dedicated teachers have continued the tradition, including professional teachers, active or retired, student teachers in the ESL field, advanced ESL students who decided to help peer group help each other to teach basic English, and many English-speaking church members who just enjoy working with the students. We now offer 2 ESL classes on weekdays and several on weekends. Through the years, more than 800 students have participated in our English classes. In the early 2000s, one of our ESL teacher, Augustine Chan, received many requests to teach English related to passing the citizenship interview. He started taking a little part of his class to explain those conversation English and teach them. And soon enough, within 2-3 weeks, his ESL class became with like 60 to 70 students. And we realized quickly and heard the demand of the neighbors. So we responded by starting Sunday citizenship classes. They become so popular that we have to set boundaries, and we had to start helping our volunteer not be burned out, having so much demand. Right now, we offer a popular citizenship class taught by Phyllis Dickstein, a retired United Nations librarian, and several mock interview groups led by a rotating team of 15 to 20 volunteers every Sunday afternoon. In 2012, we invited high school students who are native English speakers to help with mock interviews. To date, we have groomed more than 12 students to become volunteers in our program, helping people learn to pass the citizenship test. Currently, we continue to have one of the most reputable free English class in the community. People take buses and come from far away. I've met people who travel each week from Gilroy, from Burlingame, transferring trains and buses to get to our classes. But at the same time, so the ESL class continue to be very popular and very helpful. On the other hand, the citizenship attendance has dropped. These weeks, we have about 15 people in the instructional class and 6 to 8 people in the mock interview classes. This is mainly a response to how much life in China has improved. And many of our students realized they couldn't convince their family, their younger generation, to immigrate to the United States. So we have experienced in the past 3-4 years, people, even members within our congregation, move back to China, which is hope in God. They bring a deep love of Christ back to China and spread that seed of love of what they experienced in the United States. At the same time, brothers and sisters, we have work to do. We still have about 1,200 U.S. citizens that we have helped in the past 15 years right in our neighborhood. Their life is not currently all flowers and poppy seeds. They have many issues just being new United States citizens living here. What this church did best is not sit around and think about our 5-year plan of what we're going to do with a certain ministry. What we did best in developing this ministry is listening to the needs and the cries of the neighborhood, of the people requesting. So we need to start doing that again. We can, if we are a hearing church, we can develop a changing ministry that may not be still doing, helping people become citizens of the United States, but helping them sense love and welcome and integration into their own community, into becoming Americans. So I'd like to invite everyone who's participated in teaching ESL, only English part, if you have done so in the past 20-some years, please stand up. Now, if you have done work with the citizenship ministry, if you have been a mock interviewer, please stand up. Now I'd like to invite Mohan to share his reflection.
My name is Mohan Raj. I volunteer 6 to 7 classes a year doing the mock interview. So we have a lot of parents in this congregation. So I would like you to just go through one imagination. Just imagine your children, after graduation, decide to go live in Europe, China, or India. And then they're so preoccupied working every day. And the only way you're going to interact with your grandchildren is to go live in the places where they are working now. So every time I teach mock interview classes, I come across people, just like our presenter today who gave the testimony. They bring so much of anxiety at the beginning of the class. After the mock interview, they have done their homework. They worked very hard. They learned the language. They learned the facts of the civics, how the government is organized. So just our presence and the love we share with them, they feel very relaxed, and the graduation rate is very high in the classes. So, and they all bring so much of wisdom, the culture, the values, enriching our community. So whether we like it or not, globalization is here to stay, and the people are going to move, just like the Israelites moved to various parts of the country. So globalization is here, and we have to learn to live and love one another. And there will be so much of strength in diversity. And this country is going to benefit from all the different cultures living under one roof in harmony. And it's not very easy. There will be lots of adjustments. They have to learn a lot of stuff here, and we have to teach them a lot. And eventually, we as a nation, we as a community will be strengthened by these diverse communities living among us. Thank you.
So you can imagine my sermon is going to be very short, but before even we go there, Carl is going to read come and read scripture for us.
Scripture today is Deuteronomy 16, verses 13 through 15. Celebrate the festival of tabernacles for 7 days after you have gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your winepress. Be joyful at your festival. You, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levites, the foreigners, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns. For 7 days celebrate the festival to the Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. And God bless this reading of his holy word.
Amen. So the scripture, it comes from the Moses, when Moses brought people of Israel from Egypt, and as they're on their way to the promised land. And just before Moses' death, he is preaching, he is telling this conversation to the people, and he kind of constantly remind them that remember that we are on our promised land, toward the promised land, but once upon a time we were slaves. So do not ever forget that part. And as you go to your promised land, God wants us to rejoice. The word celebration, the word joy comes very often. Feast, a lot of feast in the history of Israel, they celebrate. And so again, the idea of joy and celebration and coming together and having dinner and lunch is a big part of Old Testament. But also the idea, not forgetting your past, and remember not to act like your masters who enslaved you in the past, but be a different type of people. And the type of people you want to be according to God for the people of Israel was that you take care of the foreigners in your town, in your city, in your country. Amen? Because remember that once upon a time, you were foreigner in Egypt and you didn't have a good experience there. And at the same time, remember the widow, the orphans, those who were neglected in the society. And so, dear people of God, as a church, we have committed more than 20 years ago to take care of the foreigners in our land. Amen? So many of you have given your precious time to teach them English, to teach them certain American lifestyle, to give them some basic idea how to be a successful person in America. And also, Adopt a Miracle Group, for so many years, you have taken your time to take care of these women who have maybe made a bit difficult choices in their life, who might have not made the best choices in their lives, but for whatever circumstances, they are in need. And as a church, we have gone alongside to them. Amen? To help them. And I think Mary, she made a statement that like, we're so busy and in so many ways, we do not know the outcome, what happens, right? And all of us, dear people of God, that when we are in God's work, when we are doing something, we do not have a way to track all the things, what happens in their lives. But I want to remind you, I want to tell you that the work we do is for God's glory. Amen? And God has a way to take the simplest story and make it a life-changing history story. like the way we talked about the story of Ruth in the Bible. All of them acted just simply godly way. And at the end of the day, we realize that they become the great-grandparents of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you, dear people of God, that as you're serving people, as you're serving in different ministries, keep on doing what you think as God has asked you to do. Don't lose hope when you don't see the results which might come across you. In conclusion, I want you to go for a journey with me, with one of the Good Samaritan members. And one day when she was sleeping at night, she saw a dream. And in that dream, she was taken up to the heaven. And while she's up in the heaven, she's seeing other people. There are other people, godly people, well-known people in the Christian world, and everybody's cheering them. And this Good Samaritan member, she's wondering, like, have I done anything for God? Because I was a very busy mother. I was taking care of my children most of my life. I didn't have a lot of time. I didn't have a lot of free time. I didn't have a lot of resources to do anything. And then as he's wondering and as he's thinking about it, a young man comes to her and says, thank you. And she said, like, I've never seen you in my life. Why are you thanking me? Like, you don't remember. But my mom came from China. And it was her first time in America. And she had no place to go. She had no way to assimilate her in American culture. And you gave your Sunday afternoon. And you taught her English. And not only you taught her English, but by just being there, your presence changed her attitude toward the church. Because in China, we thought church is a bad place. In China, we thought that we hate Christians and we hate churches. But when my mother came to your church, you accepted her. You took time to teach her English and she learned English. And I was born into that family. And I worked as a pastor my whole life. And because of your sacrifice, there are so many people around the world have been blessed. And then other child came. Says, thank you for your service. Well, I didn't do much. Well, you know, on Wednesday evenings, my mother used to come to your place. She was a drug addict at one time, and she was in prison, and she had no hope and no future in the society. But you took time to spend with her. You gave her clothing. You gave her dignity. You played with her. She found joy. There was a time when she was about to commit suicide. But before she did that, for the last time, she wanted to come to that church. And when she came to that church, because of your presence, because of your dedication, because of your love, and because of your kindness, her life was changed. And I was born into that family. And eventually I became a successful doctor. And because of your sacrifice and your love and your commitment, so many people are healed through my services. Dear people of God, God invites us to do the part what we can do with our limitations. And for the rest of the things, let it God take care. Amen? Because God has a way to do things in an amazing way. And sometimes we might be a small vessel in God's glory for somebody else's life. So, do good work. Continue being godly in your way and in your work and in your sacrifice to one another. And if you're wondering that, hey, you know, my lifestyle has changed, my circumstances have changed, and now I have a little bit more time. I have a little bit more extra money. Maybe I just recognize that I'm a gifted singer. That's my new talent. Think about that, how you can give it for God's service, maybe in this church or maybe any other place. but be sacrificial, be giving, so that we can hear such a wonderful testimony like what we heard from our Chinese sister, that she found Christ in our church. Amen? Amen. What a glorious thing for us as a people of God to be part of. Let us close our eyes and pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much. You're kind. You're compassionate. You're gracious. You're loving. You're forgiving. And we have experienced that in our personal lives. Help us that as your church, we might able to expand that, able to give it to somebody else. Help us as a church that we would remain a welcoming community where people from different experience could walk in and still feel they're accepted. That people with different languages, struggling in different ways, that they might able to feel free to come in to this church where we will able to help them. And as a church, Lord, we are going through different times, Lord. Help us open our eyes, open our understanding to find new ways to reach out to your people with your love. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.